will be number 924. 924.
As I announced last Sunday morning, beginning next Sunday, we're going to begin a series of lessons that I hope you will attend and that you will invite other people to watch. We're going to discuss what the church is that Jesus built, how we can identify it, why religion is failing in our world today, and what God wants you and I to do to make it better. And I hope that's a broad enough explanation that it will perk your interest a little bit, and you'll be with us for that study. The lesson this morning, I hope, will kind of be an introduction to that lesson and fit with it. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And while you're turning there, I want to mention a statement made by Paul in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. Where Paul said, the things that are written aforetime are written for our learning and our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Before we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I want to take us back past the events that Paul talks about in chapter 10. Paul looks back to the days when God's people were coming out of Egypt and they were following Moses on their journey to the promised land. But if you go back beyond those days and you go back to the very beginning of time, there are several things that are important as we study the Old Testament. Number one, I believe as we look back upon the Old Testament, it is important for us to come to understand that we cannot truly understand the New Testament if we do not have a good knowledge and a good understanding of the Old Testament. For truly, about 5/8 of the New Testament is either a quotation or a reference to some event in the Old Testament. So if you don't know the New Testament, you're going to be solely confused as you study the New Testament. When you look at the beginning of time, God made a creation. And the thing I would like for you to remember as you think about creation is this. Don't get so bogged down in people wanting to argue about how long a day is or all the things that people seem to want to go back and say that God used evolution and all those things. The important thing for us to truly understand is this. That when God had made his creation, he looked down upon it and he said, it is good. You realize that God put you here in this earth, on this earth. He put the world here as our home, and he intended for this to be a good thing. He intended for man to live here and to dwell in happiness, peace, and joy. But we know that Satan came into the world and persuaded Adam and Eve to bring sin into the world and thus change the creation of God into something that was tainted. And from that day forward, the Old Testament and the New Testament have a common theme. There is a battle between good and evil, between right and wrong, between Satan and God. Both fighting, all fighting for your soul, for your allegiance. The devil wants us to be in bondage and to live in sin so that we can spend eternity with him in the devil's hell. God wants us to come out of the world, be translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, and live and be obedient to the will of Christ so that we can live forever in those palaces not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What a struggle there was throughout the beginning of time. It didn't take long after God had made this creation and called it good that sin took away the purity and the innocence of Adam and Eve and the whole world. It wasn't long after that until the world had become so wicked that God looked down upon it and said it had repented him that he had made man. For the very thought and intent of man's heart was continually wicked in the sight of God. If you subscribe to the theory that the majority is always right, then the flood was a tragic mistake, because the majority defied God. Only 8 souls were saved from the flood as they were rescued in the ark and carried on God's plan to see man live and hopefully come someday to be justified in his sight and live with him forever. After the flood, the great prophets came because there was always a message. Man had forgotten God. Man had rebelled against God. Man had warred with God. Man had become steeped in his own traditions and in his own ways. And this was the history. And then we find that there came a day when God sent into the world the Jews. And they became God's chosen people. And then there came a time when they went down into Egypt and they became servants to Pharaoh. And this is where we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is looking back to the time when God sent Moses down into Egypt and called his people back to him. Now let's listen as we read. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things are our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now listen to him. All of these are the events that transpired shortly after he had taken them by a strong and mighty hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, and they're headed toward the promised land. But it didn't take long until they began to murmur. They wanted food and didn't like the food that God gave them. They began to see the enemy around them, and they wanted to be like other nations. Now all of these sins befell them during the time that they wandered in the wilderness. Now he says, now all these things happened unto them for an example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Do you hear what Paul said? As we look back throughout all the ages of the Old Testament, here is what we need to understand. Don't become complacent. Don't become indifferent. Don't become apathetic. Don't think that you are saved because you have done certain things. Don't be like these people of old who thought they could go and walk away from God and do their own things in their own ways. And as they said to Jeremiah, God doesn't care. In fact, we don't even think God sees. But if He does see, He doesn't care what we do. Leave us alone. And Paul says, all of these things should be points that we ponder and that we learn. Therefore, or there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to stand, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Therefore, my dearly beloved, flee idolatry, and speak as the wise men, judge ye what I say. Have times changed? Did men listen as Paul explained to them the tragedy of the Old Testament? The tragedy of what man did. God had given them a perfect world. A world without sickness, death, no heat, no cold. Everything was just right. And they still chose to turn their back upon God. Isaiah said in his day in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. It seemed to be the order of humanity in the Old Testament to rebel against God, to despise His ways and His truth. Jeremiah and other writers of the Old Testament would say, come and stand in the old paths, wherein is the good way. And the people said, no, we will not walk in those ways. We will not go there. Time and time again, men showed a defiance to the God of heaven. And now we have to ask ourselves, why is it today that there is such violence, corruption, dishonesty? I don't care what your political views are, but it is almost as if we have become somewhat numb to evil. Can you imagine, when you really think about it, can you imagine how really horrible it was just a few days ago when a young man took a rifle and fired into a church building, wounded at least 20 people, killing two that we know of, that I know of, maybe more by now, who died. But I ask you, all of us, how do we react today? Does it ever bother you that tragedy has become our norm? That it's almost as if we say, oh, that's bad. And then we take a sip of water or a glass of tea and we go on about our merry way. As if it is just normal, just the way it should be. You see, Paul said, those things were written that we might learn. And then the question comes to us today, have we learned? Have we learned to do what God wants us to do? Search the scriptures, Jesus said, for in them you think you have eternal life. I hear more and more people today talking about God, about Jesus. They talk about religion. But very few say, here's what the Bible says. Here's what God says in His Word. Here's what He wants us to do. You see, Paul said to the Corinthians that there was a time in the Old Testament when certain people God winked at their ignorance of right and wrong, but not today. Every one of us, every human being has the opportunity and the obligation to search the scriptures. For those scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. And those scriptures have the power to instruct us, correct us, mold us, shape us, and make us fit to be partakers, not only of the kingdom of heaven, but to give us a right to the tree of life. Today, yes, it bothers me that in our political views, we're divided. But that doesn't bother me near as bad as today. We are divided in everything we do, believe, and practice in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul called for us to be of one mind, one judgment, that there be no division among us. And yet the voice today of people who claim to be Christians is you go your way and I'll go mine. You believe what you want to believe and I'll believe what I want to believe. And I believe at the depth of all of that, at the basis of everything that divides us today, is the fact that more and more people do not desire with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength to know the truth. Only the truth will make us free. Not what you believe or I believe or what a church believes or what a preacher believes, but what saith the scriptures? For there's coming a day when we'll all stand before the righteous judge of the universe. And what are we going to be judged by? We're going to be judged by the things that are written in this book and by how our life compares to the teachings of this book. So as Paul begged those people in his day, be reconciled to God. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. This is a day when we, as those who claim to be Christians, have the opportunity to change the world for good by laying aside our own petty ways, laying aside all of our preconceived ideas and beliefs, and being willing to go together to the scripture to find those things that lead to eternal life. Let's stand together and sing.